digging it. So what'd you put it in?
You're listening to KVS HLP 101.9 FM. Hello.
Hello. You are listening to The Klatch on 101.9 in Vashon, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today. And yes, with me in the JBVS studio downtown Vashon are Heidi Skrypek.
Hi.
And Tina Shattuck.
Hi.
Hi, ladies. and today we have, we're really pleased that Tina is here with us today because she has a lot of news about what's going on with Women Hold the Key. And I know many of you probably don't even know what that is. I know what it is. Heidi knows what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And Tina's going to tell us all about it in a little while. But first off, I'd like to just see how everybody is and what's been going on in your worlds. It's been a while since we sat here.
Who do you want to go first?
Go ahead, Heidi. What you been doing?
Me. Pick me.
I can tell. She's raising her hand.
I just landed from San Diego.
I know. I'm so amazed you're here.
A few hours ago. And then I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going over. Oh, hello, world. yeah. So it's nice. It's nice to be back down on the ground. My cats mobbed me the minute I walked in the door. Suitcases are still sitting right there inside the front door. Mm-hmm. We'll unpack later. And my garden exploded. So pet kitties burst out the back and see what my husband has done. Mm-hmm. And he did a good job watering, and everything doubled and tripled in size.
Oh, beautiful,
didn't
beautiful.
It, though? In bolt, some stuff bolted.
I'll be right over.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Where were you?
Oh, I was in San Diego.
Doing what?
Doing some swimming.
I knew that.
But I want to hear what Tina did also, what she's up to.
And then you'll talk more?
Sure.
Okay. am I up to?
What are you up to, Tina?
What am I up to? I feel like I just work like a dog.
Yeah, you've been working a lot, I know.
I have some stuff going on at home. I've got two kids kind of launched, one who's not quite, and so I'm spending lots of time with that person.
You had one last year that graduated, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I had to graduate. Yeah, and so I guess launched is in quotes because, you know, it's all just a continuum of momming. Yeah, I mom so hard.
I know.
Mom's going to mom.
How old are they?
Almost 17, 19, and 22.
Oh, man. Yeah. So close together. Oh, did you have postpartum?
Did I?
I'm sorry just to launch into that, because I did, and mine are 2 years apart.
I don't know if I did. Okay. I feel like maybe my postpartum was, I'm just overwhelmed with everything.
Seriously,
How do I keep 3 people alive at the same time? Mm-hmm. I only have 2 hands.
Yeah.
How does this work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's probably where I am. Uh-huh. I wouldn't have called it postpartum. I had stuff later because I'm an old mother. Uh-huh. And so when they were all, you know, four to nine, that's when things started getting hairy. Mm. And that was perimenopause.
Oh.
That was a lot of stuff.
Oh. That is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it was a
little
lot.
Ones like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
oh,
that's what happens when you're an old parent.
I look at you and I'm like, no, there's no
She's
way.
Not
She's
old.
Not old at all.
Well, I was. I was, you know, 40 when my last kid was born. That's old considering, you know, kind of where we're at now.
You don't even look that old now. So.
Rock on. Love it. Going backwards.
She's regressing.
Yeah.
Karma for all your hard work.
That's right. Yay.
Keeping you young. What about you?
Well, I've been really busy too. And I, you know, sometimes I think, what am I doing? But I know that, like, I feel busy, but nothing's getting done.
That's okay.
My biggest news, I think, is that I've been appointed to be on the board of directors of Vashon Repertory Theater.
Massive.
So that's just really exciting for me. I love the theater so much.
Yes.
And, you know, hanging out with actors and hanging out with directors and getting to help. I don't help direct, but I mean help the direction of the organization. And we had a what we called a reveal party on Sunday at the Grange, thanks to Jennifer Potter.
I love the Grange.
I love the Grange
cool.
so much.
Cool.
And so I don't know how many people were there. Lots of people were there. And Rock Island Pizza supplied the pizza for us. And we had pizza and wine. And Charlotte Tinkin, our executive artistic director, I think is her title.
Okay.
brought some actors from Seattle over who read from one of the plays that they're going to produce this summer called Edgar Sawtell. And I don't know if any of you have read the book or not, but it's about dogs. It's about a dog.
Awesome. All right.
It's and I didn't really know anything about it. But anyway, it was really quite wonderful to see this. And I can't wait to see the play. So,
oh, that's so cool. We
have a website.
What is it?
VashonRepertory.org.
Oh, cool.
And all the plays are listed. There are four plays that are going to be taking place from August through May of 2025. August 2024 starts in the Heron Meadow, you know where the Blue Heron Meadow is over there. We're doing an outdoor one over there, a play written by Brian Willis, who's Brian.
I met Brian when I was 18.
You did?
What?
He's a wonderful playwright.
Isn't he
lives in Olympia.
Okay.
And he wrote a play about Oscar the Troll.
No way.
Yeah. So we're starting out.
Oscar.
Yeah. So we're.
Oh,
we're
that's fantastic.
And according to Andy James, it's kind of funny. It's kind of silly. It's kind of poignant. And that it's for kids and old people and everybody should enjoy it. So I've been really. That's a shameless plug for Vashon Repertory
plug
Theater.
Away.
But it's so fun because it's a very heartfelt, community-oriented theater group, and I'm proud to be part of it. And I hope any of you listening will.
That's cool, Linda. I want to flip the script a little bit,
okay?
Because I could see you acting, and we've never had this discussion.
No, never.
But I could see you being an amazing, really great actor.
You're very kind. Thank you. It's sort of in the back of my mind. I have done acting.
Have
I was going to be a theater major in college.
I can so see that.
And I did that, but I haven't done it for years and years and years and years.
Well, you're dipping your toe in. You're going to start here.
Yeah.
And then at some point, you'll just kind
we'll
of jump
see.
Right in.
We'll
the
see.
Game.
Well, thank
we'll
you.
See.
That would be fun.
Someone
How
about we see?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Someone doesn't show up for dress rehearsal, and you're just going to slide right in that.
Yeah, I'll be just fine. Yeah. I actually, if there's anyone out there who's interested, I would love improv class.
Okay.
I think that would be so fun. So hello. Is there anybody out there?
Oh, there is.
Improv?
Isn't there Mick?
Mick Coleman. She does a
ton
of improv.
Hi, Mick. Yeah, dude. So anyway, I'm working. Well, thank you. That's a big high compliment.
Ooh, you just
gave me
an
idea. Just say that it's really important in the times we live in that we recognize how important all art, culture, history is for our mental well-being.
Especially now.
Yes.
You know, as a matter of fact, that's what Charlotte said in her little speech that she gave to everybody who attended was, arts and music are more important now, maybe not than they've ever been, but really heavily important in our mental health and our emotional being because it brings us all together as a group. We have a joyous shared experience and we walk away either having learned something or felt something or questioned something. And I think it's important too.
Yeah, it is. It's really important.
Yeah.
Youth, especially, I think we need to, especially COVID, it just created this weird sort of flat line in all of that and that enrichment. And so it'd be nice to reintegrate some youth into even what Repertory is doing, but all overall, because we need to see the youth emoting and connecting and relating. And I feel like a lot of that happens through the arts.
And it got so squashed.
Yeah.
So squashed.
Yeah.
I mean, you can even see in the demeanor of the young kids.
Yeah.
You can see it. They're different.
And like, what's up with the library going away?
It changed us all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In so many ways.
What do you mean the library going away?
The school library.
Oh, the school library.
Well,
yes.
Fingers crossed that they'll find the funding for it.
I'm going to write the district. They
need
to. You should too.
Yes, everybody, write the district.
They did well in Give Big last week, so they were able to add on a couple of the really critical, like the school nurses, counselors for the middle school. They added those back in, which is really, really important.
Oh, good.
So hopefully they'll find the funds.
I know there's some struggles going on with finance everywhere.
Absolutely.
But education, we can't stop.
Just
we cannot stop.
Nope. These programs, I mean, and that just seems... Reading is fundamental, as they say.
I know.
As
it
RuPaul
really
says.
Yeah. You know, I really, my school librarian, in high school was instrumental in me getting involved in reading so many books that I never would have read had she not suggested and opened my whole world. Yeah. And she had a reputation, Chris Vim, are you listening? She had a reputation of being sort of stern and mean, and she's my friend Chris's mom. So we joke about that a lot, but she really liked me, and she took time to explain the book. Oh, well, maybe you'll like this one, or maybe you won't like this one, but you should try this one even if you don't like it, because, and look at the words and look at the flow. And she was an amazing inspiration to me as a writer.
And but in addition to that, she actually saw who you were.
Yeah. She did.
Which is that basic human need to be seen, to be known, to know that we matter. Yeah. So,
she
you
read
know, that's
you.
Those pieces that we can connect to, right? For
Thank
sure.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it's really true. Yeah. Well, speaking of books, I do remember her. I'll never forget her. I'm reading a couple of books that I want you guys to know about, because I think I'm reading one called They're There. And it's by a man named Tommy Orange, who is, it's a fierce and angry and heartbreaking book. It's a first novel. Okay. It's a voice we've never heard before.
Awesome.
He was raised in L.A., and he is an enrolled member of the Arapaho and Cheyenne tribe of Oklahoma.
Okay.
So he writes about life from the perspective of several different characters. Every chapter is a different character. And in the end, I'm not at the end yet, but in the end, he ties them all together somehow. I don't know. And I know all these people. I mean, you just get to know these people. They're like your friends. You know them. He's such a good writer. It's funny. It's profane. It's enlightening. And so the book is called They're There. And it's based on not There, There, Honey.
There's no There, There.
There's no There, There.
That one.
Yeah. And then I know, Louise Erdrich said that he's a new writer with an old heart. So that's pretty high praise coming from her.
What did I read from her in college? Help me.
Oh, I can't remember names of books.
I had to read something by her.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to hell. I don't remember.
And I know that I've talked about this one before, but I have a little snippet I want to share with you.
Okay.
I read What's Cooking in the Kremlin by Witold Zablowski, who's a Polish writer. Mm. And it's a history of the Kremlin and the cooks in the Kremlin, according to which dictator they worked for and what they had. And, you know, there's a story about a cook who didn't exist. And her name was Shura Varbroeva. She was 30 years old, and she worked in the kitchens in a sanatorium close to where Lenin lived. And then Lenin hired her. But of course, in those days of the Soviet Union, he couldn't have any servants. It wasn't known that he had a cook. If he'd had a cook, he wouldn't have been of the people.
Oh, I see. Because
so he would have been elitist, you know.
Yes.
So she was hidden, but she cooked and cooked. And there are recipes in there of hers. Most of them have been destroyed. And the all of the documentation of her is gone. But what remains are her grocery lists.
Oh, wow.
She has grocery lists. And they're in a museum, which was Lenin's house. And if you ever go to Russia, you can go see it. But one of the lovely stories I loved was that when Lenin was dying and, you know, I learned that he was shot when he was talking about bread and how difficult it was to buy it. And somebody shot him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then he degenerated. You know, he got really, really sick. And she was the only one who really could attend to him. And he wanted buckwheat, and all the doctors said, you cannot have buckwheat. You cannot eat buckwheat. And she believed that buckwheat was an antibiotic and an aphrodisiac. And so she fed him buckwheat when they weren't around. And standers by said that even though he couldn't speak at that point, she knew what he wanted. And when she fed him buckwheat, he smiled.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know,
that's interesting.
It's a wonderful book. What's Cooking in the Kremlin?
That's fun.
Yeah. Heidi, anything going on with you in the book world?
I'm reading the Wim Hof book. I'm also reading, I think it's called Level Up, or that might be the podcast that I listen to. Let me pull it up, because it's an audiobook. So I just,
when
I'm in the kitchen and baking bread, actually.
Well, don't get shot.
When I like to listen to it. But it's a book about menopause, because nobody talks about menopause that much.
Yeah. I
have some favorite Instagrams. Dr. Mary Claire Haver is one of them. She's incredible. But this is one of her recommended. And she just released a book that will be next to be read. This book is called The New Menopause, Mary Claire Haver. Mm-hmm. And then the other one I have is called Next Level. It's also a menopause book.
Oh, wow.
And Wim Hof is about cold immersion, reducing inflammation, and his method of breathing.
Goodness. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
So, okay. Yeah. I've heard of that.
You know, I just have a comment to make as the elder in the group here. Mm. You guys are so lucky that people are talking about it now, because when I went through it, nobody talked about it. And that was only, 20 years ago?
Right. It was like people 5 years ago. Nobody was talking
about
it.
Nobody talked about it.
Yeah.
No.
And we are now, which is really critical, because if we can't talk about it, then we can't study women, right?
Right.
Right. Before, no women were studied when they
did clinical trials. Well, and it's kind of like if you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know,
we're doing some really great stuff at Women Hold the Key around post-peri menopause.
Yes. Yeah. That's great stuff. Yeah. That's great.
I think it's finally happening for me.
It is.
8 months, no period.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, world.
Hello, world.
And so I'm like, I think I'm in it now.
Well, so lady that we had come talk about menopause, she said really what they should say is menopause is one day. It's the day that you've missed 12 periods.
Yeah.
That's one day.
Okay.
And then the next day, you're postmenopause.
That's perfect. I agree.
Before that, you're peri. You have one day at that 12-month mark where you've missed 12 consecutive periods.
Boom.
And then you're postmenopausal.
So close.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. Fascinating.
Yeah. I didn't know that. But that's
I didn't either.
Makes sense.
There's a lot of stuff women don't know. And I'm, 55, so I'm right there. There's a lot of stuff I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. We're the same age.
Yeah.
And I want my hormones, and my doctor won't give them to me.
Oh.
She says, your marina should be enough. Well, I'm getting drenched in freaking hot flashes, and it's super uncomfortable.
It's pretty terrible.
There's really great new data on HT, hormone therapy.
Yeah, bring it.
Yeah, really great data.
Give me hormones, Linda.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we'll work on that.
That's what I'm reading.
Another thing, this is a quick switch to a different topic.
Sure.
Another thing I'd like to talk about is, thank God it's finally spring. Mm. I mean, we're moving into summer pretty quickly with our weather.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, the flowers are blooming and the trees are so beautifully green. The tender spring green is already gone.
Yeah.
You know, we're into strong summer green now.
This is true.
You know, we are. But I'm still in a mental institution.
Yes. That explains a lot.
Yeah. I'm still in a mental state of spring.
Yeah.
Well.
And I cleaned my house yesterday. It's a springtime ritual. You know, I was thinking about rituals. And the house is sparkling.
Oh, my God. You can't come to mind then.
I just... and it hasn't been sparkling in a long time.
Good job.
But it felt good to pull things out of the cupboard. And it was that kind of cleaning, you know?
Yeah.
It felt really
cool.
And I remember when I was a kid, we always did that. My mom did spring cleaning and fall cleaning. And it was big. It was drapes. And it was the furniture upholstery.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
Oh, God, it was horrible. So I haven't done it much because I hated it.
Wow.
But now that I'm older and I live alone with my cat.
Right.
And I will say I had a little help doing it. I didn't do it all by myself.
Because
I can't anymore... bend down in those weird corners.
I thought you were going to say your cat helped you.
No, I've trained Diego a few things, but house cleaning is not.
What? You had a little help?
A little help from my friends.
That's nice, though.
Yeah, it was. So I'm just kind of wondering what happens to you guys in the spring? Do you have any spring rituals? Or
what do you do, Heidi, in the spring?
I do wardrobe switcheroos in my closet. A lot of that. I pack away, the woolens go to the back, and I have a summer clothes that come up to the upstairs bedroom.
Ah,
so,
nice.
But I should get rid of shit.
I stuff shit.
Did you say that?
I didn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're saying. I folded all my sweaters this weekend.
You did?
Put them away. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's
who knew?
That's a ritual.
Yes.
Yeah. And yours is gardening as well.
Very much so. But actually, that starts in winter. I get seedlings going in the greenhouse that are just teensy weensy, and then they go in around March, April, and now ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yo.
Well, Tina, I know that you are an aficionado of fire circles.
Yes.
And
I love fire.
I noticed that Women Hold the Key is doing a fire ritual pretty soon, aren't you? Or did you just do one?
We do monthly burns.
Monthly
and
burns.
We're starting in May. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we're switching it up. So all of last year, I don't do them when it gets really cold because it's just too cold.
Well, it's miserable and it's miserable probably raining.
And you have to drink a lot of hot stuff in order to stay there. So I do them usually all summer and I usually do them at my house, but we have a whole bunch of guest fireplaces that we're going to be using this year.
Oh, that's
brilliant.
And
where are you going to do that?
So this first one is at a private residence.
Okay.
So if you want to come, it's, you know, come, but you have to sign up and then I'll give you address.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's at somebody's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in a big field in somebody at somebody's house. So,
and then do you have song or?
No, we don't usually
do
that.
Gather and visit?
We kind of do what I originally started out in Circle doing for Women Hold the Key, which is, who are you? Let's get ourselves introduced.
Oh, okay.
What do you have to offer to the group? Do you have something that you'd like to offer? Do you have an expertise or whatever? And then what do you need? How can we help fulfill needs in Circle?
Mm-hmm. I would imagine some people come sort of hesitant. Like, I don't have anything to, I just came to learn.
I know, isn't
but
that
then
funny?
It is, but then you figure out.
We all have something to offer.
We do.
No matter what, whether we think we do or not, we all have something to
offer. Well, that sounds pretty wonderful.
Yeah. I want to keep that conversation going and also want to understand how to sign up. So hold that thought. We're going to do a little underwriter supporting.
A little thank you.
The Voice of Vashon thanks Dental Care of Vashon for its programming support. If you have tooth or gum discomfort, damaged or missing teeth, need crowns or implants, or you're thinking about Invisalign clear aligner therapy, Dr. Mayer and her team offer unmatched quality and compassionate care. Located in Courthouse Square on Vashon Highway. On the web at dentalcareofvashon.com or at 206-457-2744. Ellis Cedar has earned a reputation for delivering the finest cedar products available. They are selective, friendly, and they understand customers' needs. With a large inventory, Ellis Cedar supplies custom and specified orders on time, and in-house manufacturing ensures exceptional quality. Located on Vashon Island in the heart of the Puget Sound, Ellis Cedar delivers top-quality Western red cedar worldwide.
And we're back.
Who is that man who just loves to do the PSAs?
That's Chris, Mr. Chris
isn't it?
Austin.
Yeah.
That was Chris?
That was Chris.
How do you know his voice so readily?
I don't know. I just heard him a lot
over
the last decade or so.
Chris is a great guy.
He's a good guy.
I think we need you to come and be a guest on the Clatch again. He was a guest one time.
Sweet,
it was just great.
He's always got great stories.
Yeah, he does.
Good storyteller.
You know, it's occurred to me that maybe listeners... You know, if you hear a sponsor on the radio that is someone you recognize or a company you recognize, do business with or something, it'd be really great if you thank them and tell them thank you for supporting Voice of Vashon, because we can't do it without them. We just can't. We're a nonprofit. So
yeah,
say thank you, please.
Thank you. And of course, we love Lauren and we love everyone at Ellis Cedar.
Yes, we do.
My mom goes to Dental Care of Vashon.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
You
got
to support what you love.
That's right.
We love this community, so we have to support it.
That's right.
Yeah. Which is what you do.
I try.
Yes, you do. You do a great job
really hard
of it.
To
you sure do.
Empower and support the women here.
Well,
in particular.
Let's talk about that, Tina.
Okay.
For listeners who don't know, Tina is the executive director of Women Hold the Key. And Tina, what is Women Hold the Key and how did it start? Where did you come from and how did this begin?
Well, I've lived on Vashon for 24 years, so I'm pretty deeply embedded in this community.
Wow.
My sister and I started Cafe Luna in 2000. So we really wanted to get to know our community, and we were able to do that by starting a coffee shop. It was so funny. I did I did some sort of asking around in early 2000. I think maybe we started in 2001. I can't remember. It's over 20 years ago. That was pre-children. I have no idea what's going on. So we asked a whole bunch of people. And at that time, it was an internet cafe.
Yeah.
And the only response we got was, oh, that's a terrible idea. And the more people that told me that, the more I was like, well, then that's what I'm going to do.
That's so funny.
So I'm pretty deeply embedded in this community, and I've done a ton of fundraising for lots of different organizations in this community. I've worked here for a long time. But as it happens, when I turned 50, on the morning of my birthday was Christine Blasey Ford. testimony in the Brett Kavanaugh hearing.
That was your 50th birthday celebration.
That was my 50th birthday. And I got up and I was like, okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
And then by about noon, I was like, oh, it doesn't matter yet again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And something inside me flipped. And I don't know why it was that particular thing. Maybe it was all that coalescing. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, well, I did. There's lots of expletive in there, mm-hmm. but I didn't, you know, we'll leave that out.
Sure.
But I just thought at that particular point in time, it was really important for me to gather the women that were important in my life and to acknowledge them and mm-hmm. to say, I see you. You're part of my tribe. I acknowledge you.
Wow.
We're in this together. Yeah. And so I created an amulet that I just gave out to 50 women. I sent them all over the country to the 50 top to people who I was like, some of them I hadn't spoken to in years.
Is this the key?
This is the key.
The key? I have the key in my car.
Yeah,
this is so cool. Yeah.
Really, it was not meant to be anything other than a connection point mm-hmm. for me.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened pretty quickly is that I recognized that women wanted to be in community and kind of deeper, more embedded ways and to really know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing a monthly circle.
Okay.
At your house or?
I did it at the Old Spoke. I did it mm-hmm. at my house. I did it kind of wherever I could find it. And for about a year and a half, mm-hmm. I did monthly circles. And we just kind of, you know, there was anywhere between, I don't know, 6 and 30 women at a time, just depending on mm-hmm. who could come when. Mm-hmm. And we really just wanted to know each other, to support each other, to, you know, like just be known. And so that's kind of how it started. I started doing work around gatherings, events, classes, really just last year. So in 2022, mm-hmm. I thought, wow, there's so many amazing women here. So, like, this community is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women I knew were like, well, I'm retired. I want to give back. And I'm like, well, would you teach a class on this expertise or this? And nobody ever said no.
Oh,
they all said,
wow.
Yes, I would.
Yes.
Nice.
And so in January of 2023, I put together the first set of programming and programmed all last year. So I had about 145 classes over the course of the year.
What?
Some of them were one-off. Some of them were series. Some of them were support groups. Some of them were gatherings. They're all different kinds of things.
Did this depend on what a woman's idea about what she could bring? I can bring this. Yes. I can do that. And so then you...
So I had some ideas about what would be great, what women might want mm-hmm. to be connected around and what they might want to learn. But also all of 2023, if someone said, I have this idea, and I would say, well, let's try it.
Okay.
And they didn't all work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But
mm-hmm.
a lot of them did.
Yeah.
So we had almost 1,000 people participate over the course of
the
year.
Oh, my goodness. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was really great. And I was like, oh, then there's something here.
I'm onto something.
There's something here to this.
Yeah.
And so really, a big part of what I do is sort of one step up above basic human needs. You know, if you are unhoused or food insecure, then you don't have your basic needs met.
Right.
But what about when you do? Once mm-hmm. you have your basic needs met, what happens then?
Because mm-hmm.
there's a difference between just meeting our needs and then actually thriving.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
as individuals, as women in community.
Mm-hmm.
I did some data research about what happens when women are supported and empowered. And what they do is they not only bring that home to their families,
mm-hmm.
but they also bring it to their communities.
Yes.
And the data does not support anything other than women doing that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? Women are the ones who do it.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't do it. And I'm not trying to generalize and saying no men do, because there's tons of really great men.
Yeah.
But women, based on who they are, what they do, what we do, really, whatever we learn, we don't just teach our children. We teach our community.
That's right.
So the data really supports how important it is in community that we support all women
mm-hmm.
or all people who feel like they need support. And that's not just women. It's people on the spectrum. It's all different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I really recognize that what we do have in this community is an incredible resource of people.
Right.
What we don't have is a community center.
We definitely do not.
We're small towns. Yeah. Most towns don't have community centers.
Yeah.
So the idea around what we're building through Women Hold the Key is that we'd love to take this idea to other small towns that don't have community centers. So if you build community centers that start with women, we know that families get taken care of.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
We know if we start here, then this happens. So we have a really great focus and goal over the next 10 years is to be in 10 different places.
Wow.
10 and 10. Wow. Yeah.
You know, it was, I think it was a couple of months ago, you had an open house. And it was the women coming and bringing food and just sitting around for the day. And then the afternoon you had some classes and some...
Yeah, International Women's Day.
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I went to that. And I met so many interesting women. You'd be surprised that there were no women there whom I knew.
What?
It's not wild.
It was just crazy because I know so many people
you
in
do.
Vashon, but they were women that
you're
didn't.
Who are you?
I know, and
what
it
do
was
you do?
It was fabulous. There were wonderful women.
That was a really great day.
Yeah, it was fun, and the food was great. The bread.
One of our board members, Celine.
Celine, bless you, Celine.
Turkish.
Bless Celine's husband who made that bread.
Yeah, Ulic made it for us. He made Turkish bread. It's like focaccia, but not.
Yum. It's much more flavorful.
It was so good. And she makes Turkish coffee. And she's going to come one Friday a month, and we're going to do
wonderful.
Turkish coffee in conversation.
Well, she told me that he only does it at Ramadan. I ask him all year to make it, and he will not because it's a Ramadan.
Yes, that's true.
Ritually used bread. And it was so good.
Yeah.
And so we're lucky that it happened during Ramadan.
Right.
It makes me hungry.
It was really good.
That's some good bread he makes.
Oof. Yeah, it was good.
He actually is pretty generous and kind, and he does a lot of stuff if we just ask.
See? And there's the men involved in community.
Oh, yeah.
And,
we got some good ones, let me tell you.
We sure do.
Yeah.
So you're talking about some growth that you're experiencing now, as well as kind of, you're sort of stabilized now, it seems to me, that your classes are... really interesting and diverse,
they're
well attended.
They are.
And now there's another little half step
piece.
Up, maybe. There's a piece that's taking place.
Yeah.
And would you tell us about that?
Well, I am always looking at programs and figuring out what is it that women need and want. Mm-hmm. And so we have some really great fall programs that are coming. One of them is going to be Auto Shop 101.
Oh, great.
Taught by a woman.
There we go.
Do you know, I was over at Napa Auto Parts, Vashon.
Oh, yeah, Alicia.
She's not there anymore. I don't know if that was her name. I think her name was Michelle. But she put my battery in for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was so impressed. I said, oh, my God, you know how to do that? And she said, oh, yeah, I just love it. She said, and I'm learning so much here. And she was learning all about cars. I love that.
We have a teacher who teaches at a community college, Auto Body.
Oh,
and she's going to come and teach it. We have in the fall gentleman who's going to teach a survival course,
what?
Survival 101 for women.
Yeah.
So we're always trying to figure out what is it that women really want and need, and what they really want are places where they can be supported around lots of different stuff, but also learn something. We do finance stuff that's really top notch, and it's really about empowering women to take control of their own finances and all those layers, right? All those different ways. And the psychology of money and how it affects women differently than men. I mean, just really incredible, kind of deep, embedded, supportive things that we can do for women. We also do lots of stuff for people in lots of different ways, personal development, art and creativity, health and wellness, lots of different things.
I'm involved. I come when I can, and it hasn't been recently, but you're doing a group called Matriarchs.
Yeah, we do a monthly Matriarchs meeting.
And it's really something. It's women of a certain age,
and
we don't have kids at home anymore, and most of us are retired. Some are widowed, some are divorced, some are never married. And we share with each other sort of ideas about how to live and what we're doing, and we welcome younger women to that too as well. There was a very young woman who attended for a while, and she said, you know, we said, thank you for coming. And why are you here? And she said, you know, I just want to learn. I just want to sit and listen and learn what you talk about. So it's a multi-level.
It is. It's really, our goal is to be as intergenerational as we possibly can, because it's really important, you know, that we get to reflect ourselves into others, and that we also, you know, I'm kind of right in the middle. So I have a 16-year-old, but I don't spend a lot of time at around 20-somethings. So I don't really know what the world is like for them, but it's really important that we do, right? And then it's also really important that I see my elders and I know what's coming up, right? And the more connected we are, the more that it is a positive impact on our mental health. And if our mental health is positively impacted, then our physical health is better. Right. So it's about longevity.
That's health.
Yeah,
that is health.
Amazing.
It is health.
But I love what you're saying about how when we learn something or when we feel empowered and seen and heard, we take that home with us. And we take it into our friendships. We take it into our work relationships.
Women do, don't they? They certainly do.
Yes. Yeah. I think I just think that's kind of profound that you're actually working on something that supports and enlivens that philosophy.
It's so simple. It's kind of why we're here.
Yeah, when
we're
you get
here
down to
be
it.
In relationship. We're not here to get the best cars or the biggest house or we're here to experience relationship with each other. That's why we're here. And you know, depending on what you believe, maybe you keep coming back until you figure that stuff out.
It's funny. I mean, when you're talking about that, I have this very specific memory before I moved to Vashon in my first marriage. I had a burgeoning career in public relations, and I was offered a job here in Seattle. At the time, I was living in Honolulu, and I was freelancing for this lady for a long time, and she finally said, come on full time. And
Seattle?
Yeah. Oh, she said, come in advance and do like a whirlwind tour and just meet my clients and see if it's where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And we did it and we had the best time. And it was an all-girl squad at this PR firm downtown. Yeah. And I was like, yes, the wind under my wings. And I felt like that, what you're describing. And I got back to Honolulu and I was totally just smushed.
Yeah.
And actually told, you're being an F&B.
Yeah.
And you're acting like an F&B. And I was like, I just got an offer to support us and give us a new start. We were having big time financial problems, and that's a whole other story. But I just remember the antithesis of that happening after feeling so good. And then I went to a household where that was just not. Yeah. And I just didn't have that around me.
Right.
And I ended up doing it anyway. I took the job and brought the family here and tried to get counseling done in that marriage, and it did not work out. Yeah. And I got the strength and courage to walk away from that marriage. It was really hard.
Yeah, that's really hard.
We co-parented on this island, and it worked out. And the kids are now in their mid to late 20s.
Your kids are great.
But boy, I that was the right thing to do, because I was like, oh, women are allowed to like feel good about themselves and have careers. And it's okay if they're breadwinners.
Yes.
Because that was not okay in the marriage that I was in.
Well, I mean, you know, women are erased all the time, everywhere, for all different kinds of reasons. Mm-hmm. And if we can stand together, then we really, really can be. Gosh, I hate to say this, but you know, this world doesn't belong to the white men anymore. It belongs to people of color and women.
Yay.
Right? Because we really need to build the world in an image that looks a little bit different, because what we have is not really working all that well.
And no. Oh, yay, you.
Yeah. So, not that I don't love men, because I have two boys and an ex-husband.
I have two boys,
and I adore them.
And
so
does Heidi.
They're awesome.
Same.
And certainly.
But look how they were raised. They were raised by someone with insight and an open heart.
Yes.
And that's how we taught our boys to be the magnificent beings
that
they are.
We're all boy moms.
We are.
We all have two boys.
They're empathetic and deep. And
heartfelt. Multicultural.
Heidi, talking about the breadwinner status thing and how men have always, it's always been for the man to make the money.
Yes.
Well, this is just a little snippet, but when I was getting divorced, I had two little boys, and it was horrifying. I was scared to death.
Yeah.
And he said to me one day, is there anything I can do to change your mind? And I said, no. And he said, I really don't understand. He said, I've been good to you. I even let you go to work.
Oh, my goodness.
I
And I said, there you have it.
There, and there it is.
And there it is. It's a very simple sentence.
Aren't I benevolent?
Uh-huh. I let you go to work.
There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of change in that. I don't think women hear that anymore. I hope. I hope they don't.
Oh, there's so much.
I hope so. I hope. Yeah. I hope you're right, but I'm afraid probably in lots of different places in the world.
Well, in the world, happens. I get pretty, you know, Vashon-centric here.
Well, and that's kind of one of the things that I try to kind of keep in mind is that I really can't change the world.
Uh-huh.
All I can change is my zip code.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
mm-hmm.
We don't. The world's problems are so big.
They're so big,
and they feel so overwhelming. But if I can do something here, then it's like that 100 monkeys. It will just reverberate out eventually.
Well, concentric.
Speaking of the world, you have something going on in the world.
I do.
And it's not that you...
You hold that thought. Wait, hold that
you
thought.
Do we have to spill that yet.
VOV programming support is provided by the Hardware Store Restaurant, serving great good food, free Wi-Fi, and signature cocktails in an historic 125-year-old building, the heartbeat of Vashon Island, on the web at thsrestaurant.com.
This portion of Voice of Vashon programming is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's Green Credit Union, practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at psccu.org.
I wish we had
what
2 hours.
I do too.
Right?
I know. Yeah. It goes fast.
It does go fast.
It does go fast. Can I back up? I have to add
something. Back it up. Back it up.
Back
what
it
you
up.
Got?
Talking about the hardware store as a sponsor. You know, I don't know if you've been in there recently.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's changed. The food is
changed.
Absolutely delicious.
Oh,
Dave
Oldham
is there managing now.
He's the GM, and that man is master of ceremonies.
And
he's
the food
fabulous,
is wonderful, and they greet you differently than they used to, and it's... I just highly recommend it. There are still some of the traditional hardware store menu items, but he's also introducing new things. And Heidi, I know you had brunch there one day, we're just over the moon about it.
It's a bruschetta with lox, basically smoked salmon, and some fresh arugula. It's just piled on there.
That sounds awesome.
And the schmear is avocado. It's
yum.
So good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Eat that.
So,
it's a weekend.
Yeah. So we won't belabor that point, but I'm just saying.
Oh, but I can.
I could too, believe
right?
me. I could too. So back to our topic at hand, and Tina Shattuck, in case you just tuned in, is the executive director of Women Hold the Key here on Vashon, and she is sharing with us some of her ideas and hopes and dreams.
Hopes
and so
and dreams.
Let's talk about how we were just talking about how you cannot change the world, but I'm here to tell you Tina is changing the world. Now tell me how you're what's going on.
I got really lucky that one of my former board members was born and raised in this little town in Southwest Ireland called Tralee. She was born and raised there. She was in the United States for 35 years in healthcare, retired, went back to Tralee, and as soon as she got there, I was like, okay, when are we starting a chapter?
Nice.
Okay. And she'd be like, I'm not ready yet, Tina, just hold on. And so for about a year I was like, you ready? Are you ready?
Are you ready yet?
Was
this
ready?
A weekly,
how about now?
A weekly
how about now?
Email?
And so finally she said, I'm ready.
Oh, wow.
So I went, and she had an initial meeting where she pulled together about 14 women.
Mm.
And they actually have in Ireland a lot of programming that really supports women. They have these things called women sheds.
Oh, sheds?
Sheds.
And like man shed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but they're women sheds, and they're places maybe more like the Y, where you go and you do activities together.
Okay.
But they have some stuff that's even in small towns that supports women and community building. And so when I first got there, I was like, uh-oh.
Competition.
Uh-oh. Competition, maybe.
Yeah.
And then I also thought at the beginning of this conversation, maybe the culture is more conservative than the work that I do, which is I get in there and we kind of go deep pretty fast.
Right.
And we are vulnerable and we do kind of deep dig work.
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe
No,
they were all about it.
Good.
Wow. They were like, let's go.
Wow.
So we have an official chapter that opened in, let's see, this is, I think we were there at the end of March. Is this May?
This is May.
This We're is in May. They had their first meeting 2 weeks ago, and their second one is in two more weeks. So they are meeting once a month. And they're doing kind of what we did at the very beginning, which is, you know, smaller groups in a circle. Who are you? What do you have to offer? What do you need? And then I developed a series of cards, questions, a couple years ago to help groups of women who didn't necessarily know each other kind of break icebreakers.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Good. And so they pull a card or two, and then they have a discussion about it.
Wow.
And they're pretty, I'm really excited.
That's wonderful. And so are they patterning classes after yours, or do they have their own sort of identity over the classes?
Well, it's brand new, so we don't really know. You know, my board and I last summer, when we did our strategic plan of 10 and 10, this is year one. 2024. And this is when we were going to actually figure out what that might look like.
What 10 and 10 might look like?
Yeah. Okay. Or no, what the structure might look
like.
I see. And then I went ahead and just started it. So that's kind of how
As
I do.
You do.
It's kind of how I do stuff. So we're trying to figure out like what I think will probably happen is eventually they will look at the experts in their community and say who would like to do what based on what it is this group of women want. And they will probably eventually do similar kind of programming.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah. And maybe two more opening this year. Possibly.
Are you going to tell us where? Or
no,
is this a secret?
I'm not going to tell you where.
Oh,
but
dang.
I did want to ask.
Oh, come on.
can you please provide your Instagram handle and also your website?
Yeah.
If you have one.
Yeah. WomenHoldTheKey.com.
Okay.
Facebook is Women Hold the Key. Instagram, Women Hold the Key.
Oh, well, that's easy.
Can't be too hard. Yeah.
And tell us, please, about your facility and where you are now. Oh, it's so beautiful.
We're just so lucky that we kind of snuck in on this really great space. We have a women's community center, and on Vashon, it's on the corner of Gorsuch and the highway. So it's upstairs where VYFS was for many, many years.
Yes.
So it has a lot of really beautiful, playful, childlike energy, but it's really a women's community center where we do all of our programming. And we are starting Women's Community Days at the end of May, where you can come in and you can be in a space that feels really safe and supportive. You can have a cup of coffee. You can meet a friend. You can read a book. You can take a nap. We have a napping couch.
I mean, I would so show up just to get on a Chase Lounge and snooze.
Just sit.
This is so funny because I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who's been quite ill for a while, and she's getting better, but she's really, really tired. And I took some food over, and you know, we were chatting, and I said, I can't wait till you feel better and you can come over to my house and we'll have tea or coffee or something. And so then I was bragging about my new bed that I got, and I'm so happy to have this new bed. And I was telling her about it, and she said, oh, that just sounds like heaven. And I said, why don't you just come over to my house and lay on my new bed?
Take a nap.
I said, we'll have a cup of tea and a cookie in bed. And she said, oh, that sounds perfect.
Yeah. Ooh, I kind of like this. Now I'm seeing binge watching.
Totally.
Why not?
And a kettle.
Why not?
Yeah. Or just a opportunity to have a conversation with somebody who you might not know.
Exactly.
And just the amazing amount of the connections that women make.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And they start new businesses together.
Wow.
They amplify each other's businesses. Geez Louise, women are amazing.
Yeah.
It sounds like an amplification in general, what Women Hold the Key does. You play to each other's strengths and gifts, and it's wonderful.
And I've had conversations with women who are like, ooh, I don't do that group thing. Ooh, that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a component of what we do that I think women need to move beyond sort of what that might look like for them.
Because it used to be different. Really, it was.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
I'm not a group person.
Right.
I would say that to you.
Yes.
But I found coming to Women Hold the Key, it's different.
Yeah, it is different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the most important components of all of the stuff that we do is that it's free for everybody.
Yeah.
You
can make donations.
Oh, please make donations, because that's kind of how we stay alive.
Nice. Yeah.
Am I good? We're good?
Yeah.
I kind of decided that even in this particular community, which is very affluent, the women who need the most support have the least amount of resources.
Right.
And so I said, forget it. We're going to take those barriers away. We're going to make this a place where everybody is welcome and you can, all these resources are available to you. And then I have some really amazing women who have, who are resourced, who are like, I'm going to support what you do.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so I need more because that's, you know, it's
that's how it works.
Every dollar counts.
Right.
Lots of, I have about 30 women now who make a monthly donation, and I can't even imagine how much, they can't imagine how much I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well,
supporters.
And the, yes, yeah, and the women supporters. Who attend,
yes,
who can't.
Yeah.
You know, who
can't
support you financially. They can support you through
absolutely
through the emotional vibration they give out when they go back out in the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They'll pay it forward for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all pay it forward because this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Women do this.
Yeah.
We talk
we
about,
always have.
Yes, we have.
And acknowledging that now is pretty exciting,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of talk about community.
Yes.
And
the
importance of all of our communities. Mm-hmm. And we have little tiny communities within the community
We do.
How are you attracting newcomers, or how does Women Hold the Key welcome people who maybe aren't here very much or don't know Vashon?
Well, I think a lot of it is sort of that marketing piece. Mm-hmm. Like, where is it that people get their news at? Where do they find out what they can and can't do on Vashon? And, you know, Vashon's a really interesting sort of disparate community where it's hard to kind of find central information in one place.
Right,
right. Like, you know.
It's 20 years that I've been on this island, and for a long time, you know, Facebook wasn't that well developed with our Vashon community pages, but that's been a real resource, like Vashon for All, Vashon Nights.
Yeah, so we do a lot of that.
Good.
A lot of advertising, but so much of it is word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I love the work that I do. I feel like it's really important work, and I'm actually okay with it growing just really organically.
That's beautiful.
And because we have a lot of stuff to work out. We really want to serve women.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to figure out how do we best do that.
And what is needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What else do you want to tell us about? You
what
have so many stories,
oh, gosh,
Tina.
I have so many stories.
And also, what's coming around the corner now?
What's coming around the corner
in the next couple of weeks?
Let's see. We're kind of going into summer programming, so we program pretty heavily January through April.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff is continuing on through the summer, but half of it's kind of dropped off because we really recognize how when you are in the summertime out in the sun, that's where you want to be.
Right.
And I'm very much the same. I don't want to be inside.
Okay.
So we are, the first Friday in June, we're going to have an open house where you can come and meet teachers, and hopefully most of them will be there. We can talk about programs. Oh, you know what I really want from women is I want to know what they want.
What the women
want. To know what they want
so
us to do.
So at that open house, they can come and say what they need.
They do.
They
yeah. Let's figure out how to get every need met that we possibly can, because there are women here spades who could do every single thing that anybody needs.
That's right.
And wants,
that's really
right?
true. That's really true.
I want to bring more women into the water.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, right? It's just about knowing people, talking about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's first Friday from, I think, 1 to 3 is meet the teachers. And then 5 to 7, we're going to have a community barbecue.
Really?
I got some cool dudes who are going to grill for me.
Oh, cool.
And we're just going to open up to the community and be outside.
I would love to help with that.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
Oh, I would
love
it if you would. Yeah. So we'll just put out some tables and have food and, you know, do ribbon cutting and welcome everybody there. I'm working on my sign. Most people are like, why don't you have a sign? I'm like, well, because I'm slow. I'm getting it. So hopefully we'll have the sign out by then. So at least when you drive by, you'll be like, oh, that's that place. Okay.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, you
saying,
do
what
need
sign?
A sign.
A barbecue sign?
Well, no, just our sign.
Yes.
So people actually know where we are.
Right.
Yeah.
I have been wondering what's going on with that space. So now I'm happy to know that it's occupied.
It's just a beautiful space. And
it's
you can stop
space.
In there anytime. Like, just stop
and
look in.
Well, Monday and Fridays, we have community days starting at the end of the month. But I'm there often.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you can always just come in and meet a friend there.
Okay.
You know?
Cool.
But we have coffee and tea always on. Mm-hmm. Coffee and tea, always.
And it's
on.
Good coffee, too. I've had it. It is good coffee. Yeah. Heidi knows my coffee snobbery.
She's a coffee snob.
Well, you know, we're really lucky that we are friends with Robin Pollard.
Yeah, well.
And so this is my shameless plug for her. And, and she's like, would you like us to develop a flavor for you? And I'm like,
oh my
yes,
gosh,
please.
Yeah.
So she developed, we have our very own blend.
I was going to say, do you also have a wine?
Hopefully this comes soon.
Yeah, that'll we need
maybe
that soon.
Too. Yeah.
That's a good wine.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because some of your classes are not going to go on in the summertime because people are in their gardens and they're out in the water and they're doing
outside.
All their things. Yeah. But I'm here to tell you, us elders want to keep our Monday meetings.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep, the matriarchs are going to still be there.
Oh, yeah, the matriarchs are all just hanging. Yeah. There's actually 60% of our programs, I took a poll and I asked all my teachers, you just ask your class people what they want to do. If they want to take the summer off, let's
that's
take the
fine.
Summer. They want to keep going, and a lot of them are going.
Good. I'm glad to hear
that.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll be doing it. But in September, we will actually have 30 classes or 35 classes over the course of a month. Yeah, we do
a lot
of programming.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, a lot of programming. Really amazing programming.
You busy.
I am very busy.
How far in advance are you booking stuff for the year?
Oh, you know, I'm developing programs now for September.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Okay. What you got on your mind, Heidi?
Well, I just, if people want to contribute or women want to lead or get involved.
Yeah, I'd love to add teachers and I mean, you know, I don't.
Do you have a swimming teacher?
I do not have a swimming teacher. Yeah.
We could do that or plunging.
You know, club. I mean, you know, there is so much. And I really, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to take away from anybody else who's doing stuff, right? So I try to be careful about what the parameters are and in which I'm doing stuff because I am part of this community and I understand, you know, we all do things and we all want to support each other.
So we're alongside instead of competition.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, alongside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're certainly together.
Yeah.
All together.
That's respectful.
It's very respectful.
I'm not going to step on your programming and your toes.
Right?
Get in there.
Yeah. How are we doing for time?
We're good. We're just in our last few minutes. So, I know we had some other stuff. Oh, really quickly.
Yes.
Can I just tell you, we started out the show and I failed to tell you that I got through a major hurdle.
Yes, I want to hear about your swimming thing.
So,
Tina, is there more that you'd like to say?
Yes.
At this point?
The only thing I want to say is that there was an article yesterday or today about Melinda Gates stepping off.
Yes.
So if anybody knows her, she needs to know about Women Hold the Key.
Yes, she does.
So come on, people. Help me out.
Ooh.
That's the only thing I want to say because her work is really around women.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And equity.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
I need to check out that, though. I had not been in a good news space this week because I was out in La Jolla in the water trying to overcome my fear of asphyxiation because I was really sick all last year, on and off, and every other month I was down for weeks, gurgling in phlegm and having these weird bronchial episodes. And it turns out that I had asthma and COPD.
And you've never had a cigarette?
I am not a smoker. I've never been a smoker. Mm-hmm. Never been a smoker. Wow. And I was born really early, and that could have been the first nick as I was like at 33 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And your lungs are kind of the last thing to fully cook.
Yeah.
I'm blind on one side. And so that was my first thing. But then I was kind of sickly a little bit as a kid, a rough and tumble kid, but I would get down with these horrible things. Anyway, fast forward, really sick last year, like desperately sick, had to sleep down in the basement while my husband was upstairs because I was so disruptive, coughing nights. And then they stuck me in a tube in February and did a lung function test where you breathe through this weird snorkel and you do all these different things and they test your lung capacity and your exhalation and your gas exchanges. And they determined COPD. And I was like, there's no way I could have COPD. I'm not a smoker. Apparently so. So
lucky you, right?
At least they gave me a corticosteroid inhaler that I do twice a day. And so we got it regulated, but I developed this this fear that I couldn't do any distance like I used to do in the water. Mm-hmm. And marathon swimming has become this great joy, and right. I would train hard for these long swims. That's not an obscenity. That's actually
that's
FCC
not on
compliant.
The list.
It's not on the list. There's a list here. I did while we won't talk about that. I have no idea what I'm talking about. So going to La Jolla was a big thing. I got in every single day. Mm. It was cold. It challenges that bronchospasm.
Sure.
And I went hard in the ocean. Mm. And, you know, there would be scary, spooky, weird things yeah. underneath the water. And, you know, La Jolla has juvenile leopard sharks and sea lions and all kinds of wildlife. And then just tufts like boas of kelp that mm-hmm. you get snarled in while you're swimming. And anyway, I survived. I did it. And it's great.
Yay,
so,
Heidi.
Thank you.
Yay.
And
Heidi.
Thanks for coming in today,
yeah.
Tina.
Yes, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, congratulations. Wow. That's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Tina, thank you
thank
a million
you.
For coming in.
Absolutely.
It was really fun having you.
Yeah.
And we're not even done talking.
Of course. We
but,
could do
you know,
hours
we,
more.
We could do some more. Maybe yeah. you want to come and lay on my bed and we'll talk.
Come lay on my couch.
Thank you, listeners. We're so glad that you're here, and we will see you next month.
We'll see you then.
Okie doke. Bye bye.
Did it shave to scare you?
Uh huh. It's just
does that mean it was hairy before?